Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else. It's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I gave him a face, and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's, and let's do it as a family. Let's do it.
All right, this is Bucks Uncensored, fresh off the bye week. Hopefully you enjoyed your bye week as much as I enjoyed mine. Time with the kids. Less stress because of no Bucks game. And quite frankly, I thought I started Monday with a bang because I wasn't disappointed by the output my team just showed on the field on Sunday. Also a time for reflection. Dirk Cutter spent a lot of his bye week watching film. And rightfully so. It's what head coach should be doing. Dirk Cutter said something on Monday that kind of sparked the idea for this podcast, and he was asked about, you know, firing Mike Smith again today on Monday. And Dirk Cutter said that it's not just one man. Coach speak, right? I mean, ultimately, if your employees aren't doing their job, you can either fire all of them or it's all going to point uphill, and ultimately the one in charge gets blamed. Some of you are in management and understand that, and some of you might not. But the fact of the matter is the Bucks defense statistically has been awful and gotten worse each year Mike Smith's been here. And again, I remind you, one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid defensive coordinator in football, and he is paid like a low-paying head coach or a low paid head coach. That's significant. Now, with that being said, Dirk Cutter is absolutely right. It's not just one person. It is collectively across the board. Players are either inexperienced, they're out of position, or they're overhyped and overrated. Pretty much you can go down the defensive roster, and for a majority, a large majority, maybe 90% of the players on defense, you can categorize them in one of those three categories. And that is because you are staring at one of the worst defenses in the NFL, one of the worst defenses in NFL history that could set records this year. And over the last 8 years, and God bless you if you want to go do these statistics, but so many people want to do statistics and put nicknames on dominant defenses, the Steel Curtain, the Purple People Eaters, the blah, blah, blah. Well, this Bucs defense has set records themselves. While we can talk about eras when it comes to defenses when in doing good things, we might want to talk about eras in terms of defenses doing bad things. And this Bucs defense, from Mike Smith to Lovie Smith, I mean, Greg Schiano had some decent years in there, but even those years weren't great. And then Raheem Morris before that, you might be looking at one of the worst defenses in terms of eras in NFL history. It's bad. My allegiance lies to the city. My allegiance lies to the team that represents the city. My allegiance does not lie with one in particular player. Collectively, I want these players to help my team win and represent my city the right way. That's what it's all about. I might say things in this podcast that you might not agree with. And guess what? It will not be the first time nor the last time somebody disagrees with an opinion of mine. And quite frankly, most of my opinions, as many of you know, might not be as accurate. And there tends to be some hyperbole sometimes. I'm trying to park the hyperbole right now and just give it to you straight. I don't need to exaggerate. I just need to explain. We're going to go through the players on defense. And I'm going to explain to you why it's not just Mike Smith. But ultimately, it all flows back to Mike Smith, who is in charge of the entire defense. And if Mike Smith is not going to be held accountable for the players not getting the job done on the field, what did I just say? It flows uphill. And if the head coach is not going to hold the defensive coordinator responsible for the defense's output, then ultimately the head coach's fate will be at hand. So who are the players? Well, I guess we can go through one by one. Not all players are all negative, and we'll start in the secondary. Justin Evans has had a very good season so far. However, the issues revolving around Justin Evans continue to haunt him slightly, not as much, but slightly, and those being the angles he takes in the open field. In particular, Antonio Brown's touchdown on Monday Night Football, where I mean, I don't even know what Justin Evans was running towards. I get it. Antonio Brown's fast, but I mean, it was as if there was a glitch in Madden and he just started running the wrong way and then running in place. And then all of a sudden he jumps 50,000 feet into the air while still running. I don't know. It seemed like a glitch in the system, how bad his angle was on that play. But him alone, not the only problem. He's made some turnovers. He scored touchdowns. Jordan Whitehead, Carlton Davis, MJ Stewart, inexperience. Hard to blame those three guys, when you have three rookies in the secondary, you didn't really build the depth around them. In essence, you pretty much said, you know what, if players get injured, we're going to just throw those young guys out there. And that's fine if you simplify your defense, which is exactly what Mike Smith didn't do, was simplify his defense. At least that's the assumption, right? If there are that many blown assignments and blown coverages, it has to be because it's too confusing or you drafted a bunch of dumbasses. And I tend to think that it's, I don't know, because you hear it's not confusing. You hear it's pretty simple to dissect, but then these players keep screwing up coverages. So which is it? Brent Grimes, I mean, he's going to fade, and he's still good. He's not elite. That's pretty much it for the secondary. Conti is Conti. Now let's talk linebackers. Ooh, this might not sit well with some of you. First off, Darius Taylor, really done nothing for me. Strong side linebacker. Very excited and anxious to see Kendall Beckwith get back. I think he's a tough physical presence this defense needs out there. And maybe they need it at a different position. Lavonte David. I think Lavonte David has been what he has been his entire career. A really good linebacker. Is he a dominant force? No. Is he a dominant presence? No. Does he get the job done? Yes. I want Lavonte David on my defense. But when Pro Bowl time comes around, I'm pretty sure you've never heard me bang on the table for Lavonte David to get a chance to go to the Pro Bowl. I don't know if he's a Pro Bowl linebacker. What is he special at? Rushing the passer? Maybe, but they don't use him that way. Okay? Is he special in coverage? I can tell you for a fact, no. Is he special against the run? Special? Maybe really good. It's probably his biggest strength. His instincts are damn good. But on a consistent impact player basis, he's a player I want on my team. Wouldn't necessarily call him a player that takes over games. Now, the player that is heralded as such is Kwon Alexander, the Lai Tyrella. Let me tell you, first off, I hope that the Buccaneers aren't planning to write Mr. Kwon Alexander a blank check. Again, good player. I don't think he's near as good as some people make him out to be. Now, again, flashy player, right? Red hair, jumping around, doing the Lai Tyrella thing anytime he makes a play. The problem is the plays are few and far between. I've seen Kwon Alexander get beat consistently in coverage. I've seen him take bad angles in the run game. I've seen him get engulfed by offensive linemen and never seen or heard from again. And I've seen him make some impact plays. But I think the inconsistency there at middle linebacker has led to some remember, he's the quarterback of the defense. He's calling the plays. You know, if there's confusion on defense, it's not just the secondary. It's everyone. What type of role is he playing in that? And not only that, but again, I don't think he's consistent enough a player that I'm going to write him a check for $10 million. And look around the NFL, 4-3 linebackers don't make $10 million a year. And I don't know if I'd give him $8 million a year. I think he's a $5 to $6 million a year guy. Good, not great. Good, not elite. And yes, overrated to an extent. It depends on who you're talking to. I can call him overrated. I still think he's a damn good football player. But I say he's overrated compared to the people that put him up on this pedestal. Like, he is a godlike figure playing defense. Folks, here's the perception some fans have. Vinny Curry, Gerald McCoy, Jason Pierre-Paul, Quan Alexander, Lavonte David, Brent Grimes, all are Pro Bowl players. That there are some fans that believe that. The harsh reality is that it's just not true. You can't have the worst defense in football and have six potential Pro Bowl players. Can't. Even six Pro Bowl talent players. Can't. It's not possible. And you can't say that it's just this year or it's just Mike Smith or it's just this defense, because a majority, well, McCoy, David, Quan, they were all here, Brent, they were all here when Lovie Smith was here. I don't know if Grimes was, but, right? So bad defense, bad, so it's just the style of defense they're playing. Okay. So are we going to go to a 3-4? We're going to blitz every play. What's it going to be? And remember what I said at the beginning of the podcast. Mike Smith has plenty to be blamed for. He should be blamed for the entire thing because he's in charge. But if Dirk Cutter says it's more than one guy, I think we can look at this and say, sure. Now let's talk about this defensive line, the revamped defensive line that was supposed to change the game for the Bucs. And maybe the reason they were willing to go with young players in the secondary, because they felt they were going to get the consistent pressure. I've seen pressure at times, not consistently. Vinny Curry, Jason Pierre-Paul, upgrades. We're not seeing quarterbacks just sit in the pocket for 5-6 seconds. But not enough, and not consistent enough, not angry enough. Fade needs to be out there far more often. I think the defensive lineman I've been most impressed with has been Carl Nassib and actually William Golston, who's playing end, he's playing tackle, he's making some plays. Like what I've seen out of him. Noah Spence, bleh. Will Clark, bleh. Gerald McCoy. I said a long time ago, I mean maybe now 7 years ago, that as long as Gerald McCoy is on the Buccaneers roster and playing on the Buccaneers defense, I did not foresee this entire team. Because not only is he on the defense and he's on the roster, he's a leader and a captain. I mean, that's just how it has to be, apparently. And as long as he's within the walls of the organization, they were never going to make a postseason run. Said that 7 years ago. Now, is it one guy's fault? No. But when a guy has that type of clout and has had that since he was drafted because it was handed to him, he never had to earn it, it's concerning. But the new defensive line was supposed to magically turn Gerald McCoy into a dominant force. This has nothing to do with nice versus being mean. Nothing. I'm talking production right now. And the production I've seen from Gerald McCoy is identical to the production we've seen from him his entire career. It's mind-boggling. Some people's defense of him. Listen, nice guy. I work with people in the field I'm in. They're nice people. That doesn't mean they're great at sales. That doesn't mean that they're great at whatever they're doing. Gerald McCoy, just like Lavonte David and just like Quan Alexander, good player, talented, not great, not elite. And I'm not quite sure how people continue to watch him and think he is this elite player. Good player, not great. When has Gerald McCoy, in his career, dominated a game? I mean, taken over a game. The other team can't run the ball. The other team can't pass. He's constantly in the face of the quarterback. He's making the guy in front of him his bitch. He would never say that. But he pretty much ends the career of the guard he's going against because that guard just couldn't block him and looked foolish the entire time. It's never, ever happened. It happens like once a year for some of these top defensive linemen and defensive tackles. Once a year. You know, Gerald McCoy might trick an offensive lineman one time with his get off or whatnot. But far too many times, say what you want, far too many times he's single blocked, and far too many times nothing comes about from it. And still, oh, he's got that quick get off. Continue to say what I've been saying for 5 years. That's nice. But when they run you right past the play and the running back runs right behind you, you didn't really help anything. Good player, not elite. Just not elite. So there you go. There's your entire defense. It's very rare for me to look at this defense right now, and I am looking at every name on the depth chart. Players that have stood out with positives this year, Justin Evans. I like Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart. Inexperienced, I get it. They're going to make mistakes. I like the flashes I see from them. Ryan Smith, he has taken a beating from the fans and the media. Dude's playing well this season. He really is. William Golston, Carl Nassib. I mean, you got to be better. You got to be better. Brenston Buckner was brought in to magically transform a defensive line. A defensive line that has help around Gerald McCoy now. He's supposed to be single blocked. And if you see some of these videos on social media, he's single blocked. I retweeted one of them where Vita Vea was almost on the quarterback after being double teamed. And Curry, Pierre-Paul, and McCoy did nothing versus their single team blocks. Single blocked. Nothing. That was supposed to be the difference. McCoy gets single blocked, and you can't block him single blocked. Oh, yes, you can. Tampa Bay may be one. And listen, maybe this happens in every NFL city. But it's mind-boggling to me how people love to attack Jameis Winston. Love to attack him. And maybe this is just the area we live in. We would rather just have Saints and choir boys playing football than win, right? So Jameis Winston takes all of this criticism all of the time about his play, about his personality, about his character, about this, about that. But we never, I mean, at least a large majority have never held some of the other star, quote-unquote star players accountable. McCoy in particular. And there's been other. I mean, I just said Quan Alexander. I think he's a flash player who's not consistent. And I wouldn't mind seeing Kendall Beckwith back there in the middle. Some bulk, some size, some strength. When he comes back, put him in the middle and put Quan Alexander on the outside. And Lavonte David's 30. Maybe Quan Alexander ultimately moves to weak side linebacker, Beck within at middle. And, I mean, eventually you got to say goodbye to guys. It happens with every team every year. That's where the Bucs are going to get a lot of their cap room back. And they're not going to, they shouldn't, spend it all on Quan Alexander. They do have plenty of other players that they can re-sign, including some guys along their offensive line. All right, I want to talk about this game coming up because we have our first Cigar City Cigar City beer. Bucks Uncensored watch party this Sunday at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. It's the same Buffalo Wild Wings we had the draft party at. 1 o'clock, Bucks, Falcons. It's the game of the year for these two teams. I'm going to tell you why. The loser of Sunday's matchup is staring the end of their season right in the face. That's next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
And as you just heard, Cigar City Brewing. Now, a partner and sponsor of Bucks Uncensored and title sponsor of our Bucks Uncensored watch parties at Buffalo Wild Wings. If you've followed me, if you've known me for any period of time over the last decade, you know that there is one beer and one beer alone that is my go-to anytime I go out. And that is Cigar City Hi-Li. Hi-Li is not the only beer they have. It's just my favorite. You got to check out all of the beers they have there at CigarCityBrewing.com. And always remember that when you head out to your local liquor store to make a peek for that Cigar City label, to look for that can, and to take advantage of the great local flavor Cigar City Brewing, has brought to us for years and years now. Cigar City Hi-Li. Be like me. Get your Hi-Li for this weekend. And I promise you, you will be thanking me next week. Cigar City Hi-Li and the Cigar City Brewing Bucks Uncensored Watch Party this Sunday at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa.
Bucks Uncensored.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like Debbie Fly. I pick to the beat, walking down the street in my new the freak, yeah. This is how I roll, animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout, yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
All right, Bucks, Falcons. Coming up this Sunday, it's going to be wild. Very, very important. I don't want to spend too much time on this. We're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. We have seen great Buccaneer, and I mean great Buccaneer football, an offense we've never seen before in the first two games, and then fell apart in the first half against the Steelers. And got their asses handed to them by the Bears. The Falcons, they're 1-4. All right, they're 1-4. They lose to the Bucks at home this Sunday, and the Falcons season is over. It is done. We have a chance to end a division rival season in their house. This is what teams do to the Bucks. They end our season in October. Well, how about we end somebody else's season in October? But see, here's the scary part. And who would say this about a team that could be 2-3? But if the Bucks lose this Sunday, I'm fearful that the downward spiral they're in will be uncontrollable. I mean, if they lose after their bye week and getting their asses handed to them to the Bears, and they lose again this week, we could start to see the end of this season, the end of Mike Smith, which many of you want, the end of Dirk Cutter, and a very, very close evaluation of Jason Light. It's a massive game this weekend. And in a conference as competitive as the NFC, the Buccaneers cannot afford to fall behind. I just don't foresee a magical 5 or 6 game win streak if they start to fall behind. Not this year. Not in this conference. Very difficult. So there is a ton on the line. Now, if the Bucks win, then they come home for the Browns. Now you at least have the mindset of, hey, we got it back on track. We beat another division. So now we're 2-0 in the division, both of those wins on the road, and we're coming home for the Browns. Now, I will say this about the Browns before we get to them next week. They could, I don't want to say easily, but they could very well be 5-0 at this point. Tied the first game against the Steelers, lost to the Raiders. Their other loss was really close as well. Oh, to the Saints, because they couldn't make field goals. And then they beat the Jets, they beat the Ravens, but they should have beaten the Saints if they had any field goal kicker that could make any field goals. They were up big on the Raiders, and they tied the Steelers. They could very well be 5-0. Like I said, best 0-16 team in history last year. But it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter as much about the Browns as it does momentum for the Bucks, because I think momentum can go one of two ways. If they lose, now the wheels start coming off. If they win, they could get back on track. They could feel good about themselves coming off the bye week. I mean, I don't know if it's that easy. Very well in the NFL, they could lose this week and then win next week and then lose the following week and somehow end 6-10, and that's that. In the NFL, we tend to go week to week, don't we? Oh, they're the worst team in the world. They're the best team in the world. Worst team, best team, worst team, best team. But you lose three in a row, especially after three of the last four halves that have been played, I just find it hard to believe they're going to find some magic potion or magic spell that'll be able to turn their season around and turn them into winners. The last thing I want my football team to do, the last thing I want my Buccaneers to do, our Buccaneers, is to put out some marketing thing after the season like the Rays did, saying, you all thought we'd be terrible, but you know, we almost made the playoff. I don't. No. No, you don't brag about almost being the playoffs. I don't care how bad the predictions were about you. Predictions are by media people that don't know shit about shit. Did you get the job done? 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 doesn't get the job done. Where is this team going to end up? A lot of that can be maybe shared with us this Sunday. And I hope you experience it with us. Our Cigar City Bucks Uncensored watch party at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. That is this Sunday. This Sunday. We'll be out and about for the Panthers away game and the Giants away game. And we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Brandon and Pinellas Park for those two. But this one, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa, central location. If you're coming from Sarasota, Land O'Lakes, East Tampa, or you're coming from Pinellas County where I am, we all converge right there in the middle, right in South Tampa. So be sure to come out, join us. They got the $5 specials all day. I believe they have pitchers of beer. They've got select cocktails. They've got some food for $5. So they've got a $5 menu. They got their regular menu. We want to pack that place with Bucks fans. Let's get loud. Let's bring that game atmosphere inside Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'll tell you, you know, if the Bucks lose on Sunday, I don't think it bodes well for the rest of the season. But if they win, I could see them starting to turn things around. It's just all got to start to click offensively and defensively. Players got to do their jobs and do it well. Stop trying to make up for somebody else's job. Stop trying to just make the splash play. Be consistent. Know your role. Know your job. And do it to the best of your ability. Okay? Play with the chip on your shoulder that you had in the first two games. Not the complacency that you played with in the last two games. Thanks to our sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings, host of our draft party, host of our watch parties, and the best place to watch sports anywhere, $5 game day menu. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Mastro Subaru. Actually, you know what? Holly is getting ready. We haven't even started the whole process, but we're going to get her a new car, hopefully within the next few months. Once we decide we're going to get out and about and start getting serious, we're going to Mastro Subaru. We're telling them we're stick carriers, and we're hoping we get that stick carrier discount. I know we will. It's the only dealership that's given a discount on new and pre-owned cars just for being a Bucks fan and a stick carrier like each and every one of you. Cigar City Brewing. They've got the tasting room off of Spruce. But whether you're a fan of their Invasion, their High Lie, or any of their other magnificent flavors, you can get Cigar City beer. I've seen it at Winn-Dixie. I've seen it at Publix. I've seen it at liquor stores. I've seen it all over the place. It's in Buffalo Wild Wings. Anytime you go to a bar, make sure you ask for Cigar City. It's Cigar City High Lie. It's all around the Bay Area. And if they don't have it at the bar or the restaurant you're at, request it. Make sure they get it. Cigar City. We love having them on board. Bricados has the best Cuban sandwich and devil crab in town. And, you know, I was looking at myself in the mirror earlier today, and I said, damn, you're looking rough, boy. You need to get that fade right. You need to get it high and tight. Only one guy that can do that. That is Christian at Headlines Barbershop. Ton of locations all across. I believe they got 7 locations. Best way to find the location near you is the way I do it. Get the Headlines Barbershop app. So simple to use. You can make your appointment and find the location nearest you right there on their app as well. And B4, it's what you drink before you drink to avoid that hangover, especially on Monday morning if you're drinking for a Bucks game. Make sure you get B4 at any ABC liquor locally or at drinkb4.com. Thanks to each and every one of you as well for listening to this podcast and each and every episode. Just amazing how many downloads and listens we're getting on a weekly basis, on a podcast, on an episode basis. And that is because of you. So thank you for that. And hopefully we get a big crowd on Sunday and we all get to finally celebrate a road win together for one of these watch parties. We will end in the words of Dirk Cutter. Dirk, I hope you were preaching this during the week off, because you know you guys were speaking softly coming out on Sundays. You're busting out that big motherfucking stick, but see, then the last 2 weeks happened and just didn't feel it. Have you gotten your stick back? And if you have your stick, are you ready to bust it out? I know one girl who's ready for it.
Speak softly but carry a big motherfucking stick.
Back on Friday, let's get hyped for the Bucks Falcons division matchup. Hate them Falcons. Nailed it.